96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue the good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And welcome to The Essentials. I am your host, Hubert Edwards. And we are going to have ourselves another wonderful conversation, as we always do here. Last week, we took on the topic of mediation with students from the Eugene Depuis Law School, persons who were situated throughout the Caribbean, from Guyana, Turks and Caicos, and right here in the Bahamas. And it turned out to be a very interesting topic, and it's available on the Guardian website as a podcast. So if you want to share that out, then certainly you should. This segment, we're going to keep it a little bit, but much closer to home, because this evening we are going to be touching on the issue of Haiti, illegal migration, and how the Bahamas plays into this. We're going to be looking at issues involving CARICOM. What role do they have to play? And as we know that the current chairman of CARICOM is the Honorable Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis. And the question is, what type of leadership will he bring, being informed by the significant challenges faced by the country that he leads and the importance of finding a solution? But in the meantime, our Haitian brothers and sisters, Haiti, is in crisis, is in a serious crisis. And anyone who thinks differently needs an examination. It is in crisis. Right now, there is, in fact, no elected in the country. An anarchy is showing its true colors. So the big question we have to ask ourselves is, how will this be solved? Because it must be solved. If it is not, there is a significant price to be paid by both Haiti and the people of Haiti, our brothers and sisters. And certainly there is a significant price which is going to be paid by other countries within the region. The Bahamas, Turks, and Caicos certainly get a greater share of that challenge than most others. If the crisis isn't solved, then the blue waters of the Caribbean Sea is going to be, continue to be littered with the bodies, the soul of our brothers and sisters. In a similar fashion, not similar, but close enough, in ways which persons from Africa, individual who, for the most part, those who are seeking to flee Haiti, representing the African diaspora. While many of us were coming over, we found watery graves. The same is happening in them seeking to flee to other countries, flee to other places, the United States, the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, going all the way down to South America by other means, but definitely getting there. So what is it that we need to do? And we're going to look at this from mainly from a Bahama-centric point of view. I understand that this isn't one of the easiest conversations to have. It's one of those conversations which oftentimes can get very divisive. And it invokes a lot of emotion. But we want to kind of slow it down tonight. We want to slow it down and to have a dispassionate discourse. Put ourselves in a frame of mind where we can have a conversation where we ask ourselves hard questions, not necessarily providing the answer, but we ask them nonetheless, because I believe that's where the solution or the road, the path to the solution starts, by asking hard, honest. It doesn't matter how you slice it. It doesn't matter which side of the argument you come down on. The one thing which is unequivocal, the one thing which is beyond debate, is the fact that the Bahamas as a country stands to lose significantly more than many other countries within the region. The Bahamas as a country is being impacted and stands to be impacted even more as this crisis continues. And so the whole issue of illegal migration in the Bahamas is very, very complex. I also believe that oftentimes the conversations start at a place which assumes, unfortunately, that the issues are simple. Now, one may make the argument that it's just a simple thing of stopping persons from coming, or those who are here in country to gather up everybody. And this wouldn't be just Asians, wherever you are from, in terms of illegal migration, and put all of those persons out of the country. That would be the simplest thing to do. But observation, and if we're going to be honest and objective with our observation, it tells us that because we often gravitate to and very often accept, because it's really the ultimate solution. And it seems in many instances to many persons pretty straightforward. To you, to I, you know, straightforward. This is the problem. Do this. You don't have the persons anymore. Problem solved. The question I ask, though, and I think it's an important question, is why, after 50 years, with that solution in mind, with that solution right at the forefront, with that understanding, with that acceptance, why after 50 years or more, this has not been solved? Could it be true that it's just a little bit more complicated than that? And could it be true that in our discussions, in our discourse, we are not as open to accepting or to laying on the table transparent apparent way the fundamental issues which impact where we are today. So part of the large problem is the country itself. Our brothers and sisters in Haiti are living in crisis and persons are seeking to escape. So you see them, persons refer to them as refugee, they're economic refugees. It's sometimes, I think, a little bit more complicated than just being economic refugee. When you live in a country which is essentially run or in places which are run by gangs, there are complex ways or complex issues that affect the daily life, then it's not simply economic. But be that as it may, for the Bahamas, for the most part, we see these persons as economic refugees. And because they are refugees and because many persons are doing this illegally, obviously, very openly and transparently, they are unwelcome when they do that in that particular manner. But it begs the question, why can't the Bahamas, after 50 years of majority rule, and certainly at a time before when there was internal self-governance, why hasn't been solved? I came across this little piece recently, and I'm going to read this. And this is dated around 1961. That's before independence. It says, in December 1961, a British embassy representative in Port-au-Prince visited La De La Tortue in Port-le-Paix in northern Haiti, renowned as the main center of illegal immigration traffic to the Bahamas. Please find an excerpt below from the letter that Rep sent to Governor Stapledon in Nassau. Priests with whom I spoke, this is the individuals indicating the information in the letter. It says, priests with whom I talked told me that they did not see what could be done to stop the traffic. The people were desperately poor, and some, I was told, definitely prefer 6 months in your prison diet to look. I find this a little difficult to believe, but my informant was a man who ought to have known what he was talking about. He went on to say that some of those who were deported had really no alternative but to try to return to the Bahamas again. One reason for this was that they often sold their bit of land or other property in order to raise the price of the trip so that when they were deported, they had nothing to come back to. What I did not quite grasp, says this writer, was how such people raised the money for a third or fourth trip. I suppose they will stop at nothing to do this because your wages are incomparably higher than anything they could obtain at home. So here in 1961 was a representative of the British Embassy who was outlining very clearly that the traffic from Haiti to the Bahamas is going to be significant. And they're doing it for largely economic reasons. But the larger point I want to make there is, it's 1961. And today is 2023. And if you remove the date based on what I understand, and I'm sure based on your understanding, just being in the Bahamas, you can't help but to a picture of this type of a modus operandi. If you remove the day, it could very well describe today, right now in 2023. The fact that that is so in and of itself tells a story. It points to something of importance, something that we need to dive into, we need to understand. And that is why I'm saying, I think we need to divorce ourselves of the emotion. Not easy to do. Not easy to do. I respectfully propose very transparently that maybe it's easier for some persons to do that than others. But that's what's going to be required, I believe, if we're searching for real solutions. I've heard many discussions. I've seen persons writing. I've seen persons commenting. And one of the things which strike me very, very quickly is the level to which the proposals are superficial. They are the obvious things, yes. And ultimately, the solutions will terminate into some of the things which they are proposing, some of the recommendations that they are given. But I believe that it's not addressing the complexity. It's not addressing on one side that we have this country which is in significant crisis. And then on the other side, we have a bit of an immigration, citizenship, and a mindset which feeds into the push and the pull. So there's a push and pull factor which is taking place here. Push from ET, and there's also a pull factor from right here in the Bahamas. So what say you? If you want to join in on this conversation, our numbers are 323-6232. 325-4259, 325-4316, or our text line is 422-4796. We'd love to hear from you. Certainly want to get your input. I want to share a couple of statements made by the Honorable Prime Minister. He said, the crisis in Haiti poses a substantial threat to the Bahamas due to the increase in irregular immigration. The crisis in Haiti poses a substantial threat. He goes on to indicate that the crisis in Haiti is getting worse. So this was quoted earlier this week in the newspapers. And he was in Latin America, someplace in Argentina. And he says this, with support and leadership of Haiti, collectively, we can help Haitians build a path out of the crisis. And the question that raises immediately is, what does that path look like? How do we get to the place where our Haitian brothers and sisters, the country which became the first independent Black nation in the world, fighting for and securing independence from France long before any British, any English-speaking country in the Caribbean got independence. Many, many years ago, I think it's 1803. How do we find a path that we need to do, which is going to cause this particular country to turn around, to change significantly, such that it start to fulfill and live up to the promise that it has always had? Strong people, resilient people, persons who have survived great and tragedies of history, individuals who have suffered long and hard through poverty, through despotism, the everything that you can think of, maybe in a negative way, simply happened to this country. So the question is, as the Prime Minister said, that collectively we can help Haitians build a path out of the crisis. What does that path look like? And I think that that's where the argument turns. Looked at simply from a Bahamian perspective, what the Bahamas needs to do to solve the internal, that's from the Bahamas perspective, the internal impact is not going to find a solution. If it is looked at simply from the Asian perspective as to what Haiti needs to do to solve its problem on its own, I don't think a solution is going to emerge. And therefore, of asking, where then, who are these collective players? I know the Prime Minister was speaking to individuals of Latin America and Caribbean grouping. But who are going to be the active players that's going to help to deliver a more prosperous Haiti? A Haiti in which the rule of law becomes the norm. A Haiti in which elected officials run the country in an open, transparent, and uncorrupted way for the benefit of the people. A Haiti in which the country is not overrun by gangs and factions. Who is going to do that? The one thing we know is that we have some insight as to who is not going to do that, or how it is not going to be done. And one thing for sure is it's not going to be achieved by any international body parachuting into Haiti. It's not going to happen. The UN has shown that it can do that. As a matter of fact, the UN parachuted in there and left Haiti in a worse circumstance. They carried out serious atrocities. It's not going to be the United States. There is, I believe, a healthy level of skepticism and distrust between Haiti and the United States. It's not going to be the United States. And not simply because it's the United States. The United States have had a number of folk into Haiti as a country. But that's not simply the main reason why it can't do it. The United States will be, must be a part of the solution. Have to be, certainly as the largest powerhouse in the Western Hemisphere, with close proximity to and one of the targeted areas for illegal migration, Haiti, the United States must form a part of it. But what is fundamental, I think, going forward, is that the solution which needs to emerge, I believe, need to be seen as a Caribbean solution. Therein lies the difference. Many other entities have tried. By entities, I mean international agencies or countries removed from the region. I believe that if Haiti is going to get to the place where you restore stability, you arrest the challenges, you get the country to a place where there is both an economic development, the Caribbean, the central focus, the Caribbean will have to become the catalyst for change, and via the Caribbean largely, because there are some countries outside this particular body, I think CARICOM is going to be, must be, have to be the most central player of them all. And this is where the circle starts to recurl on itself and starts to get tight or tighter. Because in the instance that we speak right now, the Honorable Prime Minister of the Bahamas is the chair of CARICOM. Maybe it's one of the best time for him to be that. Because any prime minister, any leader of the Bahamas, I would think have a significant level of motivation compared to any other country in the region. The complicated and complex interaction between Haiti and the Bahamas, largely because of legal migration. I believe should motivate, empower, encourage any leader from the Bahamas to be totally committed to finding a solution, be finding solutions which are going to help to not just solve the issues at home, but to someplace else. Because I would wish for you to understand, accept, and align with me that any sustainable solution for the Bahamas as it relates to immigration, illegal immigration, that is, as it relates to the impact that that illegal immigration have on the social infrastructure of a country, as it relates to the impact it may have on the economic infrastructure of the country, any solution which is going to be sustainable has to have a direct tie-in with the state of the country itself, Haiti, with the quality of trade, with the reorganization and reform of governance, with stable elected leadership, investments. It has to be tied to a circumstance in which trade and development becomes the cornerstone and not aid. You see, you can give, to use the often spoken phrase, you can teach a man, you can give a man a fish, or you can teach him to fish. Haiti needs to be in a position where it is learning to fish in a metaphorical sense. So growth and development, stability, reorganization, infrastructure development, these are the things which are going to fundamentally change. That's the argument. The persons are leaving for economic reasons. Then the endemic thing to do is to fix the economic challenges at home, and to recognize that this is not an issue which can be solved overnight. Recognize that this is not an issue that can be solved in a month, a year, none at all. So even the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis, he is not in a position to totally solve the problems at all. I don't believe so. We don't have enough time. As the leader of CARICOM, as a chair of CARICOM. But he certainly sits, I think, at this critical moment, the place where he can jumpstart that. And one of the things which I am extremely, extremely hopeful of is the fact that if you would have take note of his actions over the past year, certainly since being elected as prime minister, his focus has been on climate change and largely making the argument for the Bahamas. But he has also simultaneously and in a very fundamental way been making the argument for the Caribbean. And Haiti is part and parcel of that whole post, that whole block. And he has made some very important statements when he said, with support and leadership of Haiti, collectively, we can help Haitians build the path out of this crisis. I think that that is the fundamental message which ought to be going to CARICOM. Now, let's talk about CARICOM itself. Maybe we should do so on the other side. But yeah, we have to touch on CARICOM. From where I sit, I see CARICOM through jaundiced eyes. CARICOM has not, and I underline not, up to now, live up to its obligation of doing anything which is going to significantly advance the region as a trading bloc. It hasn't. Now, by its own existence and with some of the agreements in place, coming from zero to wherever it is, yes, there have been some movement. I'm not saying that there's been absolutely nothing. But when you look at the potential of the region, English-speaking, non-English-speaking Caribbean, when you look at the bloc which CARICOM represents, it has not done so. As a matter of fact, CARICOM has not shown the level of commitment to resolving the issues, from my perspective, as both a economic and a political bloc. It has not. It would be reasonable if the people of Haiti said that CARICOM would have let them down. I would agree with that 100%. Easily. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this to highlight the fact that we have an opportunity, and by we, I mean the Bahamas. The Bahamas has an opportunity through the leadership of the Prime Minister to change that. There are a couple of things which are happening which I think feeds into that in a positive way. The outgoing or the chair which just left for CARICOM is the Honorable Mia Motley. And if you study very carefully, her statements, her speeches, the platforms that she has been pursuing, the argument that she's been making, if you study them carefully, you will see a great parallel between hers and the Honorable Prime Minister. It therefore means that for the first time in a very long time, CARICOM is going to see leadership where the focus have a level of continuity that has not been seen in a long, long time, if ever. Focus on climate change, the focus on financing as a result of disaster, looking for Caribbean-centric solutions, albeit from financing and debt and there is a level of continuity which I think is going to create momentum. And that's why I believe it puts the Prime Minister in a good stead as he charts the path for CARICOM this year. But even more importantly is the fact that this country, the Bahamas, is the one taking up a huge portion of the cost when persons leave wherever they leave. And it affects the country at multiple levels. But there are pros and cons. We're going to talk about some of those. It's not simply a take. In this very complex transaction, in this very complex immigration, illegal migration issue, the Bahamas gleans benefit. Now, persons may not be willing or comfortable openly having that discussion, but objective analysis suggests that that is the case. And is it that this benefit which is gleaned throughout this process, unwanted, overtly unwanted, but beneficial at some level nonetheless, is this one of the factors which is complicating the path, the solution? And so, like I said, I believe that to find sustainable solutions for Haiti and for the Bahamas, it has to be a twin approach. It has to be solution on the ground in Haiti, and it has to be solutions which impact right here in the Bahamas. You're listening to the Haitian crisis and the impact on the Bahamas and how CARICOM fits into that whole process. We want you to call in, make your contribution, make your comments, make your suggestions. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316, or you can write in on our text line 422-4796. We look forward to hearing from you when we come back on the other side. This is The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move. I'm right back.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all
Welcome back to The Essentials. We need to be thinking twice. We're living here in this wonderful region called the Caribbean. And we have a country right within the midst of our existence that's often referred to as maybe one of the poorest countries in the world. Certainly one of the poorest countries within the region. And what we must ask ourselves is, certainly what CARICOM must be asking, what obligation do we have to help Haiti to fix its problem? Now, there are many persons who are going to be cynical in response to this. And they're going to say, you know, they created a problem, let them solve it. There are individuals who are going to say, well, you know them people, they're into Christian things. That's why they are the way they are. There are others who are going to simply say, well, this is really not our problem. Let them solve the problems. And every single one of those three options I've given you, there are more that we could highlight. All of them are wrong. Every single one of them. The fact of the matter is, we have a brotherhood of countries within the region, the Caribbean, of which Haiti is a part. We have a political and economic bloc. The economic part don't really work too well, if any at all. But we certainly have an economic arrangement where, to some level, we consort, we change, we exercise. We share ideas. We do things on a regional level. And it means, therefore, that gives us, give CARICOM an overarching obligation to find solution to the problem. Plain and simple. Because as a region, as a trading bloc, as a political arrangement, not in the strict sense like the EU from a political point of view, because we all operate, independently and we do our own governance and there's no overarching governing body. But still, the fact that there is this block dictates that we should do more. I found this article, and it was I think it was really, really interesting. It was published in Barbados Today, and the headline is that a CARICOM Marshall Plan for Haiti, Barbados. I mean, obviously, the writer is from Barbados or have interest in Barbados. But I would say this is a, if I were to rephrase that, right now as we speak, it's a CARICOM Marshall Plan for Haiti. CARICOM must take the lead, and certainly the Bahamas must figure prominently, significantly prominently, at the top of that leadership chain. The article reads that Haiti, which occupies the cliche label of the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, now plumbs new depths of protracted political instability, adding to its woes of economic underdevelopment, disease, and disaster. Only the most cynical or the ignoramus could find no issue with a defunct parliament after three anarchic years. A sitting legislature is a fundamental component of a functioning society where the vital principles of representation, accountability, and the rule of law ensures the needs and the interests of the citizens are taken into account in decision making. And it asks two important questions. Who will respond to the people's cry against rampant criminal gangs who rape women with impunity? Who will provide access to food, safe drinking water, and healthcare services? Now, these things point to what are some of the issues on the ground which need to be addressed. If you have gangs which are going to be, they're going to try to flee. They're going to find a safer place to be. So on one hand, we may characterize this as purely economic. From their perspective, it's not. They're seeking to flee from persecution. Who will provide access to food, safe drinking water, healthcare services? So the stew of things on the ground is very complicated. The issues that they grapple with on a day-to-day basis, the human instinct for survival is going to tell them, take your chances, jump on one of these rickety boats and try to go someplace else. And if we extend that question, who is going to help to, as the Prime Minister said, build a path out of the crisis? I believe the answer to that is us, we here in CARICOM, we here in the Caribbean, and certainly with significant and overt leadership from the Bahamas. It goes on to read that throughout the rest of the Caribbean community, we take it for granted such things as regular election. In another state, 1,130 kilometers to the east, the latest plebiscite this day gives citizens the opportunity to choose their representative, who then go on to make decisions on their behalf in the House of Representatives. The deal, however imperfect in execution, is simple and unyielding. The government is accountable to the people, and the interests of citizens are taken into account in the decision making. This forms a fundamental part of the issues with Haiti's. Throughout the years, the country has contended with leaders who are, you know, really dictators, who have been dictators. So Papa Doc, Baby Doc, some of the other persons who have been installed by external parties, supported, and then support have been taken. The country has not had a significant period, certainly not in my lifetime, has not had a period of settled governance where the interests of the people are represented by those who lead. It doesn't matter how one person comes in and it seems as if there is going to be some settlement, sooner or later, something happens. And so part and parcel of that solution, that collective solution, which the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis speaks about, has to be that CARICOM have to find a way of working with the Asian counterparts, of finding settled governance. It's not going to be easy. It's certainly not going to be easy. I think it's going to require deep and serious negotiation. And it's certainly going to be required sitting around a table with persons who you would wish not to be there just because of the nature of who they are, but out of necessity must be there if you're going to find a viable and sustainable solution. It's one of those unfortunate realities. And if that is not confronted, if it is not dealt with in that way, it's not going to happen. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's until and unless the governance of the country is fixed, unless the issues which ail them right now is arrested, until there is stability and democracy over a sustained period of time, it's not going to change fundamentally. And that should be one of the items on CARICOM list. A necessary pickup, must. The article goes on to say, why then must the first independent sovereign nation in the Caribbean, which loosed itself from the shackles of colonial rule, fully 158 years ahead of any British colony in the region, be left to be declared the first failed state in CARICOM? Why? It is past time for the CARICOM, for the community, to take a leadership role in addressing this crisis by implementing, this is what it is proposing, by implementing a CARICOM-led Marshall Plan for Asian development, redolent of the post-Second World War American aid program to the poor, hungry, huddled masses in war-torn Western Europe. If you're familiar with the Marshall Plan obviously did a lot for the United States itself, but certainly after World War II, the Second World War, Europe was in tatters. The country was in, well, the countries were broken up. People were hungry, people were dying. And there emerged this opportunity for significant investment in these countries, significant investment in the economies for growth and development, for leadership on which the Europe that we know today sits. And I believe that while there are pros and cons to discussing this issue of a Marshall Plan, because one of the most fundamental consideration in this Marshall Plan proposition will be, we have to look back and ask ourselves, how are a bunch of adult countries, financially, economically adult, where are they going to find the resources from in order to implement a Marshall Plan? Because the investment has to be a fundamental part of the solution. It's not about giving some aid or feeding some people. It can't be about that. It must be as the Marshall Plan did. It's literally rebuild countries from the ashes of World War II and put them in a state where they are starting to have economic viability, trade, interact with the rest of the global community such that now they are powerhouses. So where's CARICOM going to get that money from? That is going to be a big consideration. However, before we throw our hands up and run away from the table saying it's impossible, we don't have any money, the truth of the matter, not the only stakeholders or ought not to be the only stakeholder in a viable Haiti. The United States have a vested interest because Haiti has the potential of helping in some way, shape, or form to destabilize the region. The United States have interest. Latin America has interest. Europe too has an interest. These donor organizations who in many ways, maybe with great intent, at least initially, thrown monies at Haiti in many ways. We have a caller. Let's take the call. Sorry. Let's take the caller. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Sorry, I lost you. But certainly call back. I would love to hear from you. I was saying that those who have thrown significant amount of cash, resources, time, and effort at Haiti really just become a part and parcel of the same old, same old. They have a vested interest in ensuring that they can still provide those resources, but come out with more viable solutions. So we must think about that. And the Bahamas must think about the role that the Prime Minister Brave Davis has to play. Because make no bones about it. You can be naive. I won't sit here and embrace that naivety. That his actions, the extent which he's going to be effective as the chair of CARICOM, as it relates to bringing any solutions to Haiti, is going to significantly rest on the support given at home. It's going to rest on support garnered from opposition party. It's going to rest on opposition parties, not opposition. The other ones are not strictly opposition, but persons who are in a competitive arena as far as politics is concerned. That type of a support is going to be fundamental. The sentiment on the ground from the general populace is going to be fundamental in the decisions and the extent to which, as chairman, how far he can go, may be willing to go. Because at the end of the day, while some of the things, and you know, I believe the Prime Minister is a brilliant person and will say all of the right things and will believe them and committed to them, I really believe that. Because he's a brilliant person, and because he's a politician, and because he leads a party, at some point in time, there is going to be a balance between, do I do this, or do I do that? And those things will create the tension. But those individuals, or those entities, the persons, and the parties, or the organizations, I think have to come to the realization that the solution, the ultimate long-term solution, the sustainable solution for the Bahamas lies in empowering whosoever seeks to be out front, looking for reasonable ways, fundamental ways of bringing relief to that country such that it creates relief in terms of the problems that we are experiencing on this side of the pond. That individual, no matter who it is, no matter who it becomes, needs a level of support. There is a natural reaction that I have observed where anything which is said in the direction of let's do X to help Haiti gets this huge response, what about us? The reality is, and I believe that we must accept this. We must accept this and accept this very quickly, that those solutions, if they are viable solutions being offered, doesn't exclude the us. It's immediately part and parcel of the solution on the ground. Immediately. Because if you don't solve over there, you're still going to have the problems over here consistently, continually. The article goes on to say, fresh from the diplomatic triumph of Bridgetown Initiative at COP27 Climate Change Summit, Barbados must now spend some of its political capital on introducing a Marshall Plan initiative at the February 15 to 17 summit in the Bahamas. No further hand-wringing and dithering are required. I am going to rephrase them. Like I said, this was written from a Barbados perspective. So fresh from the successful program that the Prime Minister has led over the last year and his ascension to the office of chair for CARICOM, he must now spend some of that political capital. We have a caller. Okay, we have a caller. No. He must spend some of that political capital, and that political capital is going to be both international and so he's going to have to invest. Let's not use the word spend, because spend, yeah, sounds like it's just going one way. But he's going to have to invest some of that political capital in pushing CARICOM closer, further than it has ever gone, but certainly closer to accepting its overt responsibility of leading and driving the solution for Haiti on behalf of the Caribbean. And I would add the words that were used in the article: no more hand-wringing, no more dithering is required. We cannot dance around this issue any longer, both from a national perspective and from a humanitarian perspective. There ought to be a brotherhood within the Caribbean, within CARICOM, that embraces Haiti as being a significantly challenged country, a significantly challenged economy, a place with significantly challenged individuals that needs our help, needs our leadership, needs our influence. So some of the influence and some of the capital that we have built up over the years, and certainly over the last year and a half or so, we'll have to be invested in that direction. I believe that based on the campaign of Mia Motley and Mr. Brave Davis over the last 18 months or so, they have created the opportunity. They have created the relationships. They have created the platforms and the argument to be able to bring some significant persons to the table, maybe the same, some of the same persons who have had over those last 18 months have been different, have been more fundamental, have been more Caribbean-centric as opposed to individually-centric as have happened in the past. And I believe that that type of influence must now be applied and invested in the direction of solving Haiti problem, which is a Caribbean problem, which is a Bahamas problem, in no uncertain terms. It goes on to say, such an intervention to help restore parliamentary democracy in Haiti is urgent, without question. The breakdown, not only of elected representation, but the rule of law and ministering to the needs of the people threatens the livelihood of millions of Haitians. We now believe the standing of the wider Caribbean in the international community. And that is where my head lies. The demise of Haiti, the demise of Haitians, the demise of the country, the first free country in the Caribbean, is not simply taking it down a sad road, but it's also taking the entire Caribbean down a bad road. Our standing in the wider international community becomes weakened or looked at in the alternative. CARICOM's ability to create change in Haiti, fundamental change, significant change, revolutionary change, change which is going to be evolutionary in a way which is going to put it on a path where it goes from strength to strength to significantly increase our standing as a trading or a political bloc. There's no question about that. There's absolutely no question about that. And the reason that why we have not progressed more, I believe, is because we often do not see it in that way. We see it as an individual problem rather than our collective problem. And that has to change. We have a text here. We are talking, we are treating and talking about AT as if they are disabled persons. AT has had independence. Sorry. AT has had independence for 218 years. When will AT be accountable and change the mindset of their people to work together and solve their issues? They have many successful people. I do not hear that narrative. AT has been given aid, all of that they have to be accountable for, the land that they fought for independence. So this individual is saying that, you know, AT has received significant support. Why are we not asking them to be accountable? I think it goes on to say, our problem is that we are trying to help a country of 12 million. We cannot. You are right. The approach is a concerted effort by CARICOM, but not to the point that any one country is overwhelmed with the influx over and above the population of indigenous citizens. CARICOM can act as a managing body for all aid coming into it. Cash armament is stable. But when it comes to the free movement of their people, that's a no-no. Too many people. No. I hear you, and there's a lot of things I can agree with you on this particular text. But there's also some other things which I need to be readily and patently transparent on. AT cannot solve AT problem. It cannot. AT is not in a position without external intervention at this point in time to solve this problem. And if we do not recognize and accept that, we're going to be in trouble. Some of the points that you raise are clear. No one country can manage that influx. And I think when you say that, you speak to the impact on the Bahamas. But this is either a virtual, a vicious or a virtuous cycle. If the problem isn't solved, the issues which the Bahamas face is going to continue on forever. Remember where I started? I read something from 1961, which if I had not said to you, this is 1961, it would have described the problem as it exists today. 1961 to 2023, the problem can be described in pretty much the same fashion. That tells you that there is a problem. This thing says, CARICOM has a duty to support its member states in time of crisis. The restoration of parliamentary democracy in Haiti is vital for the country's long-term stability and prosperity. It also is in the bloc's interest to ensure and prosperous. And I believe that that is true. CARICOM intervention in Haiti should take the form of diplomatic and economic support. The emphasis on economic, I believe, is going to be challenging. But like I said, who can we bring to the table? Who have vested interests? Who have deep pockets? Who have a way of investing? And this is not about giving aid. It's about investing with the potential for a return. Because make no bones about it, the Marshall Plan, which was driven by Congress of the United States, wasn't done simply for return. There was value, geopolitical value that came up with that. There was also opportunity for investment from many, many individuals out of the United States. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you are on the essentials.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Edwards.
Good afternoon, 52.
Yeah, bless it. Yeah, I was listening to you for a while. I didn't catch the show from the initiation, right? And I'm hearing the story, and, you know, everybody knows that Haiti gained its independence in 1804, et cetera, et cetera. The violent uprising in Saint-Domingue and the defeat of the French yoke, right? And so then we move forward, and then we see where we are naive and we don't really want to bring the candid narratives to the light, right? Even though it's quite clear that this situation in Haiti is a construct. It's a European and American construct, right? As we saw, the Foster, which period was, America was there from like where, 1916, around that time, right? To foster them into a stable society. And here's a little brief history. You know, most of us, you were saying something about World War II and all of that. But it really and truthfully, Europe and America have created international laws to really keep countries in the position they're in now. So years ago when I was sitting on the radio, all of these geopolitical or geopoliticking is really designed to control the world's resources, right? I know people being away to school and they think they learn this and they learn that, but what I'm saying is some things you're not going to learn if you're not down the global agenda rabbit hole. And so when you look at the prices of natural resources respectively throughout the third world, from Africa all throughout the Caribbean, and you look at how they price resources. They manipulate the prices on resources in Africa, Haiti, South America, and so this is how they keep themselves in power. But they have used the ill-gotten, unethical wealth from slavery, right, and explorations as far back as the maybe let's say from the 14th century.
Mm-hmm.
We could start off from Galenus,
okay,
Ferdinand Magellan, et cetera, et cetera. The first people to circumnavigate the globe in their history books. If we know Africans from West Africa, we know that they learned most of their nautical abilities from Africans, right?
Bring it home for me, please.
What I'm saying is I'm sick and tired of the history of Haiti and the truth not being brought out. The thing is, that doesn't give them the right to do what they're doing. The reason why, you know, like you said, Haiti cannot solve its problems. Surely the Bahamas can't. And surely maybe a collective effort. But it cannot be done without Europe and America. All right? And so, I don't know if you know this, right? Because listen, please, man. You guys seem to want to limit what people have to say because it's not a long old paradigm. What I'm saying is, Haiti of a vast deposit of something called iridium.
Mr. Producer. Sometimes I think we get carried away oftentimes with preconceived reactions. But if we're having a discussion around a particular topic and I say to you, you know, bring it closer to home, and I say to you, I agree with what you said, your first reaction ought not to be that I'm trying to silence you. No, maybe that's something in the front of your mind. 50. I always said to you, you know, love engaging with you, but there's some things which you need to moderate about how you interact on the radio. CARICOM must lead this whole process. That's the major point I'm making here. The points that 52 made, I think, are very important. He said, this can't be done without the United States and CARICOM and Europe. I did touch on that. And that's why I believe that the relationship that we have seen emerge over the last 2 years or so, certainly a lot of them which have been fostered by Mia Motley and fostered by the Honorable Bridge. Those relationships must now come home to CARICOM. They must now become invested in the solutions for CARICOM and AD. I believe that, and I think it is possible for us to get to the place where we can now start thinking. Now, you don't may not want to call it a Marshall Plan, but this article is proposing that such a Marshall Plan, aided by CARICOM, well-established partners with donors and partners, would include providing aid as well as working with international community to help stabilize the country. Additionally, CARICOM can play a key role in mediating negotiation between the political factions and encouraging dialogue between the political parties in so far as such credible entities exist. But it can't be simply about aid and donation. It must look at, as is outlined here, that a Marshall Plan from CARICOM would steer significant economic aid and investment, underlying investment, to Haiti with the goal of stimulating economic growth and development. Consortium of agencies, it says, could fund infrastructure projects such as roads, ports, power plants, invest in education and healthcare, and reinforce sustainable agriculture. These are all possibilities. I'm not saying all of them can happen overnight, they certainly won't, and some may work, some won't work. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, no matter how you slice it, Haiti is economically constrained. And that must be part and parcel of the fix. And until that is done, there's still going to be problems. And for a long time getting here, we will take a long time moving away from here. So CARICOM, the persons who have influence, the individuals who can make things happen, do you see this as an obligation? Do you see this as something which you need to be committed? Do we see it and the country as part of the CARICOM brotherhood? When a family member is in trouble, we reach out and we assist. And we do not make the argument that we can't solve it and we're not supposed to solve it and they are the one who's supposed to solve their problem, when we readily recognize that they do not have the ability. Now, this may sound a little bit, some persons may take exception to the fact that I say that they can solve it. But show me the objective evidence that they can. And the reason that they can't is because within their instability and competing factions which need to come together, they don't speak with each other, they don't speak the same language. And in order for that to happen, some intervention will have to take place, which brings them to the place where they are now working together consistently for a better country. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to The Essentials. And when we come back, we're just going to raise a couple of questions. As we go, we heard from a former immigration officer. We heard from the current immigration officer. We heard from the prime minister. We just have a few questions. As we ask, how is the crisis in Haiti going to be solved? And what role does the Bahamas have to play in changing that paradigm? You listen to The Essentials. Don't move. Come right back.
She's been crying. She's got blisters on the soles of her feet. She can't walk, but she's trying. Oh, think twice, 'cause it's another day for you and me in paradise.
You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me.
And welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, and we have been a conversation here on Haiti, the crisis in Haiti, and looking at it through the lens of the Bahamas in the first instance, and certainly through CARICOM and how that can materialize. We shared this article from Barbados Today. We are sharing from this article from Barbados Today, which really touches on what I think is at least a way of thinking about it, a Marshall Plan. But a plan which, you know, really seeks to dig below superficial proposition and get to the fundamentals where we understand that, you know, if you're going to fix this country, if we're going to assist in fixing the country, it has to be in a deep and supportive way. And we have to understand, too, that, yes, there is a part for the country to play. And this is why it's important. That's why this Marshall Plan is so critical, because in it, Haiti will have to take a significant role in its own growth and development and the fixing of the issues. We have another caller. Caller, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
I understand, and I think a lot of people understand where most people are coming from when they say that Haiti cannot fix its problems by itself, right? It sounds intelligent. The article sounds, you know, it's very intelligent and clean. But also, Haiti has to participate in wanting and having the will to move this country forward.
100% agree.
The people are fleeing because of many reasons. I mean, economic being on the top, you know, top part of it, but also violence. You know, mm-hmm. They have gangs in their country doing things, it's almost like that country has no control over its people. I mean, I don't understand. They have to have the will to want to fix their country. So I understand. I understand the approach that it's very diplomatic, right? And I think I've texted in and I've said, you know, Haiti has received aid and assistance, and still, it's still in turmoil. So there has to be, like you say, a concerted effort. Yes, with many bodies. I mean, CARICOM, the U.S., European, everybody to help them. But they have to have a will to want to better their country. That's something that, you know, no matter how much, you know, it's almost like a drug addict. You know, you can send them to rehabilitation and this and that, but if they don't have the will and want to do better or get better, I don't think it's ever going to work. So they have to have a vested interest themselves in wanting to fix their country. I am sure there are bodies, there are political groups over there. You telling me that they cannot work together to
Observation, yeah. Observation, at least from my vantage point, suggests no. And that has been the same for a number of years. But I certainly, I agree with you, and thanks for your contribution. I agree with you that there has to be serious commitment. There has to be a willingness on the part of those in Haiti to move the country forward. So far, you know, we have not seen a clear demonstration, maybe some pockets, maybe one or two individuals, but overarchingly, that needs to be there. One of the areas why, you know, in looking at this Marshall Plan proposition from this article from Barbados, if you go back to the original Marshall Plan out of the United States, I looked at an assessment of this, and it looked at some of the lessons and some of the strengths of the plan. And one of the things at the top, the first thing it says is that strong leadership and well-developed argument overcame opposition. You know, in the same way that we are having this conversation and we are hearing different pieces and push and pull, that's natural. But it's going to require leadership, both from CARICOM in the individual countries, here in the Bahamas, Jamaica, so on and so forth, and in Haiti itself. You have to have strong leadership to create and craft the argument which is going to overcome that type of an opposition. From the Marshall Plan, one of the things they said why it works so well is that the country ownership made the reform sustainable. And this is the country ownership made the reform sustainable. Well, in this instance, the country ownership need to make the reforms possible and then sustainable. So Haiti itself will have to demonstrate that it wants to reform. And then, having started those reforms, that it want to maintain and continue them in perpetuity. A collective approach, this is one of the lessons learned from the U.S. Marshall Plan, a collective approach facilitated success. And so it talks about that the recovery effort was as a result of the Europeans joining together in this proposed plan. So here it is that we can take a collective facilitated approach with CARICOM leading as the nexus, with CARICOM being the catalyst and ensuring that the country builds out this thing over the long term. It's not going to be near. It's not going to be 2 years, 3 years, or 5 years. This is a long-term thinking. One of the things that they pointed out which made this so successful was the fact that the Marshall Plan had specific goals, that resources were dedicated to meeting the goal of increased production, trade, and stability. Now, if one looks at Haiti and listens to that statement and does not immediately make that connection, something kind of wrong with you. Resources have to be dedicated to meeting the goals of increased production, trade, and stability. We see nothing there about improved aid. We see nothing there about doing some other things. It's about production, trade, and stability. Now, we understand instinctively that there are some things that you have to put on parallel track, because triaging, or when you go to the doctor, if you have a cut and you're bleeding, the doctor is not going to be looking at the fact that you have blurry eyes at the moment. It's going to want to stop the bleeding. It's important to understand and accept that much of the aid in that went into Haiti, and there's documented evidence of this, went out of the pocket of one person, as a matter of fact, went out of the pocket of the same person through the hands of a couple of organizations and back into the pocket of the same donor giving it. Many, many instances, a lot of what has been donated to Haiti never, ever reached the people of Haiti. We must know these things. We must accept these things. And that is why with CARICOM, with persons from stable democracy who are used to the idea of leading and governing and doing it in the interest of the people without corrupted intent, those individuals will bring that change to the country. The Marshall Plan, it is said, fit the objective. In the main, the plan was not a short-term humanitarian relief program. Let me say that again. In the main, the plan was not a short-term humanitarian relief program. If you assess, for the most part, the efforts that has flowed into Haiti, they have all been that. Short-term, humanitarian-centric relief programs. It can be. What the Marshall Plan calls for is a multi-year plan designed specifically to bring about economic recovery and avoid the repeated need for relief program that they had experienced as a result of the war. It's a multi-year plan designed specifically to bring about economic recovery and, of course, sustain governance. To avoid the need for these repeated relief programs, as has been characterized over the last 5, 10, well, maybe not 10, but certainly 6 decades or so, or even more. That is where we have to get. And so when an argument is made that we need deep fundamental plan and not just tiptoeing around for superficial solutions, it is very serious. The countries to be assisted, for the most part, this is referring to the Marshall Plan, had the capacity to recover. This one jumps out at me because I am sure that Haiti has the capacity to recover in the long term. But right now, we need a lot of help in moving from scratch. Remember, some of these countries were bombed to oblivion. And they were held and they were moved forward. We have the opportunity to do so, and that, I think, must be embraced. We have a text here which says, CARICOM can act as managing body for all the incoming aid, but when it comes to the free movement of people, that's a no, too many people. Certainly, the free movement of people in CARICOM, as was envisioned, just absolutely simply didn't happen. I don't think it will happen. If you look at this, the way I look at it is follow the money. If there is no money at the end of that, it's just not going to happen. And the final one I want to share with you is that trade supplemented aid. So aid alone was insufficient to assist Europe economically. You can't get a new Haiti built on aid alone. It has to be economic growth and development, investment in the country. So I say to you as we close, are we going to, this time through CARICOM, find a way to help to solve the problem of our brothers and sisters in our sister country, Haiti? I believe that at the end of the day, we have an overt obligation to do so. CARICOM has a significant role to play. And it is my hope, my wish, my prayer that the Honorable Prime Minister of the Bahamas, being a leader of a country which is significantly impacted by this issue, will find the wherewithal, will find the strength, and most importantly, will get the local support domestically, politically, and otherwise in order to move the agenda on some of these things which are going to help to move Haiti and the Caribbean forward. You have been listening to The Essentials. We always try to end the show by saying, do not allow your greatness become a victim of your unwillingness to change. As it relates to Haiti, the Caribbean, CARICOM, and the world needs to change. All that is left to say is good night, walk good, one love, and Ubuntu.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my